Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
After his resurrection, Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The essence of the gospel is this: Jesus died for our sins and, according to the Scriptures, he was buried and he rose again on the third day. Jesus is risen and he is coming back soon. We pray that God will open a door for you to share this good news with someone today. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of Mark chapter 16.
Notice, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The atonement has been accomplished. It's finished. Christ has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. It's a done deal. But it is not until I repent of my sin and receive Jesus Christ that the atonement that was accomplished is applied. You see, I'm sure that many of you could say mentally and intellectually before you were saved that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. How many of you were able to recite that in some kind of a creed? Many of us were. I was able to. And then I got born again. And what was a creed now became a person dwelling inside of me and in you. You see, atonement accomplished is not atonement that is applied until you repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ. Salvation is more than a head acknowledgement of the facts, even the right facts of the gospel. The Bible says even the devil believes, and he ain't going to be in heaven. Notice, he that believes and is baptized, that trips some people up. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, water baptism is an important part of your walk, but water baptism does not save you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith in him, in those regards, is what saves you. Water baptism is an important part of our walk. Water baptism is a public testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ. I happen to believe that Paul the Apostle knew the gospel. Remember when he wrote to the church of Corinth? He said in chapter 1 that Christ did not send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And if baptism was necessary to be saved, he would have said, Christ sent me to preach the gospel and to baptize. In Acts chapter 10, the household of Cornelius, who was from the Italian band, praise God. And so Peter goes to the household of Cornelius, preaches the gospel, and in Acts chapter 1, they were filled with the Holy Ghost before they were water baptized. The water baptism was a public testimony that they were born again. The one baptism that Paul the apostle refers to in Ephesians 4 is the baptism by the Spirit into the body of Christ. That's the baptism. When you're born again, you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. He that believeth. Thank God that we can have assurance today, beloved, of our salvation. How many of you doubt whether or not you're saved? Because if you're anything like me, you're far from perfect. And how many of you have those doubts of whether or not you are really, really saved? And usually the doubts surround around my weaknesses, my failures, my shortcomings. I look at myself against the perfection of Christ and I say, oh, I fall so far short. How could I ever be saved? How could I ever doubt? But the assurance of salvation is not based on me. The assurance of salvation is not based on you. The assurance of our salvation is based on Christ. In fact, it is called in the book of Ephesians, the faith of Christ, the faith of him. It's even his faith in obedience, the Son of Man, to the Father that saves us. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. We read in John 3:36. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. 1 John 5:12 and 13, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. That is assurance. Assurance of salvation. Praise God. And it's all because of faith in Christ and who he is. Now, hang in there. All right, we're going to go into warp speed now. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, notice, beloved, real quickly. Five signs recorded here that will follow them that believe. And the word for signs here is a word that was used to describe the signs and the miracles that were performed by Jesus and by the apostles. There's no doubt about that. Okay? Acts 2:22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. God did by him in the midst of you. As Son of Man, all of the miracles that Jesus did, many of the miracles that Jesus did, were by the power of God in him. 2 Corinthians 2:12 says, Paul writes, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought in me. So we know that there were messianic and apostolic signs that were primarily performed to validate the preaching of the gospel and confirm the messengers who were specifically appointed by Christ. We know that to validate that they were with the Lord, even on earth. Remember, in one section of Mark, real quickly, the apostles came to Jesus. They were very concerned. They go, Lord, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and he's not in our denomination. And Jesus didn't say, they're phonies. He didn't say, go rebuke them. He didn't invalidate what they were doing. We have to tear down those walls that we build that aren't scriptural. Remember when Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is listed there the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And we read there that they were given to confirm the testimony of Christ that was in them. Paul wrote, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you be come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know that these gifts that God has given to the church are given until the Lord comes back for the church. And let me say this, beloved, that the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit are to be displayed in your daily lives. Wherever you are, that's where the gifts of whatever gift God gives you is to be used wherever you are. The gifts of the Spirit dwell inside the people of God, not that building on 500 Main Street. It's not like we're done with service. We lock Jesus in. We lock the Holy Ghost in. And then you guys go out on your own. No, you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Some of you sound shocked. Remember, Paul says, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? He's writing to these same people. The Holy Ghost was in them and they didn't believe it. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. The same. It's not like it was a different Holy Ghost than was upon Jesus. It's not like it was a different Holy Ghost that was upon the apostles. The same Holy Ghost. Amen. So after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. He's seated there now. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs wondering. With signs following. No, the Lord confirms the word with signs following. Unfortunately, there's a whole group of people who are ill-taught that follow signs and wonders. And not everything that is miraculous comes from God. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God still does the supernatural because he still is the living God. There can be no doubt that the apostolic era of the church was a unique period of time. But unfortunately, some people look at sections like this, Jesus is talking to the 11, and they have explained away the miraculous, the wonder-working power of God, and they have delegated it to that era alone. In fact, there are some that teach it. It says, now that we have the Bible, the miraculous does not take place anymore, and some of the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. That is not right. Listen to Jesus. Listen to these words of Jesus to the apostles in the upper room. Listen carefully. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus tells the apostles, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Did he say, verily, verily, I say unto you, you guys are going to do great works? The 11? He didn't limit it to them. He says, the works that I do shall he do also. So forget about the second part for right now. The greater works. People go, what are the greater works? Well, what about if we just begin with the works that he said? The works that I do shall he do also. Who? He that believes. How many of you are a believer? Oh, half of you are not going to raise your hand. You know why? this is an encouragement to you. He that believes. He that believes. Listen to this great commission command that Jesus gave here in Mark. And listen to something that he says at the end of Matthew's gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them that you lead to Christ, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Not only were the apostles to go and preach the gospel of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, they were commanded to teach them, those that they would lead to Christ, those who believe, to observe. You know what the word observe means? Put into practice whatever I have commanded you. You want to do a nice, edifying, challenging Bible study? Just look at all of the things Jesus commanded the apostles to do. Remove those that have already been fulfilled, like they were to go to the Jews only, and just read for yourself whatever he commanded them. They were to lead others to the saving faith of Jesus Christ and command them to do what Jesus commanded them to do. How do we know that this is true? In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, years after the resurrection, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Was he an apostle? You know what he was? He was a guy that passed out bread. He was a deacon. Or how about in Acts chapter 8, verse 13, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Here's the thing. We don't do signs. We don't do miracles. We don't do wonders. God does. Amen. But he does them through people like you and me that are obedient to him. In fact, I'm looking at a park filled with miracles. Amen. If you have a problem with miracles, then you have a problem with your salvation. The greatest miracle that could ever take place was that you get a group of people, me at the top of the list, standing in or sitting in 40-degree weather with jackets on, listening to the Bible preached. Amen. Right? Amen. That is nothing short of a miracle. Hallelujah. Do I need to tell you that we are living in extremely strange and challenging times? Weird. Weird. worldwide. And I believe with all of my heart that many of the people of God are being sidetracked by, and that would be a wrong word, pulled into, vacuumed into social issues, and we're silenced and we're being gripped by fear. The world that we live in, like never before, is in the grip of sin and darkness and hopelessness and despair. And here we sit this morning, beloved, the church of the living God, and we have a mandate. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Unashamedly. You don't need to ask for permission. My wife and I were out yesterday, the public market, and there was a group of people boldly proclaiming a message that will have no bearing whatsoever on a person's eternal soul. No bearing whatsoever. Jesus says all power and authority is given to him. You go. Dave, Melanie, Paul, Carm, Frank, Ilya, Ben, you, Raymond, go. You go in my name. And the word go is actually it's connected with a military term. It means to command. And listen to this. This was written by Dr. Kenneth Woost years ago. I love it, and I believe that it is a word in season. Quote, we are not commissioned to preach politics, current events, conspiracy theories, philosophies, our own opinions, or a private agenda. We have been given one message to proclaim, and the Lord confirms the preaching of that one message with divine power that saves souls. Amen. What's the only message that can bring the oxygen of heaven on this earth? The life of heaven. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it, guys. You and I have been commissioned to share this gospel in the midst of all of the other stuff that is going on. And it will go on. Are we getting it? You can get pulled into this cause, pulled into that issue. And we've been commissioned to preach the gospel. The same Holy Ghost that was poured out upon the apostles has been poured out upon you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's not like they got capital H, bold letters, Holy Ghost, and you have mini case, Holy Ghost. One Holy Ghost. Yeah? Come on.
Amen.
The same authority or power that is in the name of Jesus has been given to you, beloved. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. There is hope in the name of Jesus. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is victory over sin and death in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
And what does this fallen world need?
Jesus.
You know, the Lord continues to work today in remarkable ways. You know that? And he desires to work in remarkable ways. It's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of saying, Lord, here I am.
Yep.
Use me.
Yep.
Use me. We sometimes think that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again to forgive us. He goes to heaven, and then he says, okay, I'll see you later. Here's the thing, guys. You and I right now, as born again followers of Jesus Christ, we have a mission.
Amen.
We have a mission. Right. You realize that?
Yeah.
We are men and women with a mission. It matters not what your vocation is. It matters not what your educational status is. It matters not how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter if you live in the city or live in the suburbs. It matters not. Whoever you are, you have been called and commissioned by God to be an agent of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever you go. And wherever you go in the name of Christ, with the authority of the living God. Amen. To share the gospel. Who, pray tell, is keeping quiet these days? You know the only ones that are not saying anything is the church. You know who should be saying the most? The church. You know, I'm asked, Pastor Ray, what do you think about all of these things? I'll tell you what I think. Preach the gospel. Amen. What I think means nothing. What God commands means everything. That's right. You want to be a world changer? You want to be a difference maker? Preach the gospel. Share Christ. And share boldly. Don't be afraid to tell people that if they'll turn to Jesus Christ, he'll forgive them. He'll set them free. He'll deliver them from things that are keeping them in power. I'll tell you what, you be bold for God and he will confirm the word as you speak it. In the gospel, there is the power of God to salvation. Just go look up your Greek word, salvation. Look at all of the words that is associated with that, beloved. Hallelujah. Let me say this. If you are here and you've never received Christ Jesus as your Lord, the Bible says today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And I just want to encourage you today, my dear brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you in the name of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever be afraid to brag about Jesus. Don't ever be afraid to boast about him. Don't ever be afraid to share the things that he's not only done in scriptures, but that he's done in your life. This world is hurting, and there's only one answer. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your gender is. There's one answer for mankind's illnesses, and it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you would like to pray today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're watching online. We have people that watch from other countries. If you've never believed in Christ, the Bible says that if you will believe, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever believes in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen for that. How many of you have in your own personal Bible reading wow passages of Scripture? How many of them make you think of yourself? None. And I've been thinking a lot of those passages of Scripture lately. I just see within our church family so much great need. I see within our community, East Rochester, great need. I see within our town, our city, our nation, our world, great need. Let us never forget the greatness of our God, the wow of our God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we could ever ask or think. And I really believe with all of my heart that it is the Lord's design today for us right now to receive from him the awareness of the great commission that has been planted to us.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Puna. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is tomorrow. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.